We can kind of cut here and then hop on to a honesty and vulnerability conversation for another recovery pod session. Because like honesty, I feel like I've started to not master. I've started to get a lot better with, you know, for a very long time, I kind of repressed some of my honesty because it's too hard to say, or I just don't want to feel what I'm feeling. And man, like I was going to share on the meeting this morning. I don't know why I just always hesitate to jump on that meeting, but I know in early recovery, I really started to repress a lot of negative feelings, and I didn't know I was repressing them. I was intellectualizing them hardcore, where it was like, all right, I don't want to feel anger, so I'm going to look at your perspective, understand why you're doing what you're doing, you know, see some type of middle ground and be okay with it. It started as like a tactful way to not have my own anger responses come out. And which is a good thing. I want to be able to not cuss somebody out or flip my shit. But at the same time, it morphed into a new coping mechanism where I was trying not to feel. And I'm just now discovering this, like, where it was like, okay, this intellectualizing went too far to where when you are upset about something, you're not speaking on it. You're not feeling it and you're not pushing through it. You're bottling it. You're storing it. You're stuffing it and you're fucking exploding at some point later on. And like, I don't know, like I see like the benefits of filtering and tactfully responding. But for years, man, I would just not let that honesty truly come out. Where at first, you know, just like with everything else, at first I'm not even identifying that it's happening. Then I'm identifying it, but still trying to push through it, thinking, oh, well, my intellectualized reframe is weak right now. So I just have to do it some more. So I'm not mad about this thing. Fuck that. I'm mad. You know, I'm jealous. I don't like this situation. And, you know, as an addict, I feel like I need to like respond appropriately to control the outcome or allow myself to flip shit, which is what I've been doing, where I'm like, I really am storing a little too much lately. And, you know, it happened in a counseling session when Anna and I were in one last week where, you know, she'll let a lot of her stuff come out. And I try to be mindful. I try to be tactful. I try to look at her side of things. I stand on my things, and I've been better at verbalizing my truth the last year or so. But man, I saw like at that counseling session where I was just letting it out. You know what I mean? Where she's kind of, Anna's already let it out, and she's at a place where she's trying to come back from that. Whereas I kind of held it, and then was just like, you know what? And like, not super ruthless, but even the counselor was like, you're being like really cruel right now. And that hit, you know, I'm like, oh, forget you then. You know what I mean? But I've had time to sit with it. But, you know, I say all that to say, like, I had like a feeling. I had this exercise recently at work. I shared about it at a meeting. I don't remember if you guys were there. I think you were. Where we did this thing and they just, you know, I'm in the feeling category. My top category is feeling. So that just got me thinking, like, I thought I was a thinker and an overthinker. And it's like, nah, my feelings run the fucking show. You know what I mean? Like, I have been overthinking, trying to get rid of my feelings, trying to make them different or less impactful or just not there at all. Another form of addiction. You know what I mean? Another form of numbing, another form of not being, you know, authentic or just not having to feel. And then vulnerability came into the picture where it's like, say that you're jealous. Say, you know, what's on your mind. If you feel a way, it's for a reason. Just say it. You don't have to rip someone's head off, but you don't need to like save your face. You don't need to say it in the most perfect way. Do your best, but say it. And I've been doing that the last couple of weeks or the last week. And man, it just feels so much better to just drop the armor, I guess, and put the sword down and just be like, you know what? I don't fucking like this. You know, it's freeing. And I feel like it's really cool that I've got to this place because I don't feel like it was extreme to the degree where it's causing like a ton of problems in my life, but it's causing some. And I don't have to wait till it's like shit's hitting the fan before I'm like, you know what? I got to look at this and make some adjustments. So, and it comes back to honesty and vulnerability for me. Sorry, that was a lot. I had to get that out.
Good stuff, man. I was waiting for Eric to come off mute, so I wasn't sure. There he is.
Yeah, I got a lot to say on this. Are we going to try to do another pod on this topic or just let it flow?
Yeah, I'll cut it. I'll cut it right there in the middle.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad you guys both brought this up. Wes, you mentioned just your experience with your sponsor and the relationship you had with somebody across the country. And I feel like the most important thing in that situation was the way your sponsor handled it. Because I too, I started dating 6 months into recovery pretty much. And I feel like waiting a year wouldn't have made a difference, because where I was at 6 months in recovery was a good place. And the reason I say that is because I got to a point at 6 months where I had done quite a bit of work internally. And one big change, well, there's multiple big changes, but one that stood out to me was I was on a date with somebody and I noticed red flags, where in the past it was like red flags didn't exist because it was just tunnel vision. You know, I had one thing on my mind, and on this date there were just, it was like one little red flag and I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that, you know? And then as the night progressed, it was clear to me that it was like, there's nothing for me in this, with this other person. Like, we're just not compatible. And I was able to leave that date and not selfishly just, you know, hang around or go on a second date to get what I wanted. It was like, I could clearly see that I wasn't okay with, it's not that they were a bad person. It's just, we didn't mesh, and I could see that and feel it. And then also just with the relationship I'm in now, I feel like this is the most important thing, is I wasn't 1 year clean when I got in this relationship. There were a lot of things, red flags, issues, things that I just, you know, I shouldn't have been okay with, but I communicated that with you guys, really, with Steven and you too, Wes. And you guys gave me suggestions, but ultimately you let me decide what I'm going to do. And you just kind of, you gave me a safe space to where it was like, you let me do what I was going to do, but you also made it clear to me that whatever happens, we got you. And I feel like that was the most important thing, because if I didn't have that, I wouldn't have been so open to you guys about the issues I was having. I would have bottled it in and felt embarrassed to tell you what I was going through, or I would have, and then that would have turned into shame. Like, it's just this whole cycle where if I wasn't able to talk about those things honestly with you guys and be vulnerable, it would have been bottled up and eventually it would have broke. And for me personally, in my experience, that's, in those situations, relationships, if I don't talk about it and I'm having issues, that's like guaranteed I'm going to relapse. At least in the past, that's how it was. It was like, I always relapse because of a broken heart situation. And you guys provided me with, you know, different tools and solutions to that problem. Like, you guys gave me an out, where it was like, in the past, I never really felt like I had that. It was like, if I'm having problems in the relationship, I'm a man, I got to deal with it. But the reality is we all need to talk about it. Like, it's okay to talk about it. Like, yeah, that's the way I feel about that.
Hell yeah, man. Definitely sounds spot on to growing relationship with honesty and vulnerability. And like, I don't, you know, the only way that my relationship with those two principles grows is through experience. You know, I have to experience the results of being honest with other addicts about things that I wouldn't generally be honest about in order to experience what we get out of that. You know, that's the thing that's so hard to illuminate for newcomers, is that, yeah, you just got to go through the shit, man. And the more shit I go, if I want to stay clean, if I want to recover, the more shit that I go through, the more I am going to want to talk about that shit with somebody else and see how this program works miracles in my life, you know? And man, I need life experience in order to experience how it works. And yeah, I can relate, man. Like, I just, what a gift it is to have each other and to have such an incredible resource for living. I mean, that's what I got clean to live. I didn't, you know, I got clean so that I wouldn't die. And what I've been gifted through getting clean, staying clean, and working a program is, it says it in basic text of my fellowship, recovering addict is the ultimate weapon, man. Like, I've been gifted with the ability to live unlike I have ever lived before. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for that, man.
Yeah, I really like how Eric was touching on, you know, his situation with his relationship, because I'm kind of in that similar spot where, you know, damn, man, Anna and I have been just so back and forth for so long. You know, a lot of progress gets made, but I've gotten to that point where I'm tired of talking about it. You know what I mean? I'm tired of reaching out for either advice or just to vent or some type of suggestion, reframe, just because it seems like it's getting old. Seems like it's like, I don't want to tell another person that we're off again. I don't want to, you know, face that, kind of like saving face, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I like that, you know, you touched on that, because it's kind of pointing to me where I'm at, where, you know, maybe even if it is, you know, a once a week off moment, it's still good to talk about it. Otherwise, it is getting internalized with me and my own thoughts. And that's not usually a good place to come up with many solutions. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm stuck with my own thoughts and my own perspective, my awareness is pretty limited. You know what I mean? Not a whole lot of pointing to myself about things. But also, it kind of goes into vulnerability, just being able to say, hey, you know, I am continuing to struggle with this thing. And I think maybe a big part of it too was, you know, I kept putting it off on others, like, they don't want to hear it, or, you know, I just don't want to sound like a broken record. But really, it is that vulnerability aspect where it's like, I don't want to be the guy who's continuing to have these problems. I don't want to be the guy who's still affected by the same things or different things. And shit, that plays a part in the honesty, where someone asks you how you're doing, you're just like, it's fine. Yeah, how are you guys doing? Yeah, we're fine. No, we're not. You know what I mean? But hey, I'm reading this Brené Brown book on vulnerability, and I can't put it down, man. Like, I'm just into it. And it does talk about the shame and, you know, the need for certainty is one that really stood out to me, where, you know, that's where a lot of my vulnerability struggles is, that I need to know, you know what I mean, a lot of things. And there's just some things I have to be I have to have that faith to not know, you know, like taking that leap of faith or trying again. And another thing she said was, what is, and she's quoting someone else, I don't know who, but like, what is it, what is worth doing even if you fail? And that really stood out to me, because it's like, I do have some sort of complex where it's like, if it's not going to work, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be in a relationship if it's likely to fail, or if it's really all signs are pointing to failure. I don't want to put myself out there if, you know, there's a high likelihood of failure. You know, I don't want to, it doesn't play a part in everything, but shit, that could play a part in recovery. I don't want to get clean if I think I'm going to fail, or if the statistics say only 2% make it, you know. But it's like, what is it worth trying to do anyway? Even if I do fail, get up again, try again.
Definitely have to continue to put myself out there. You know, like you're talking about, man. Addict loans in bad company, man. And when I'm left alone in my head, not willing to be to reveal what's going on, my disease takes the reins pretty fast. And that, you know, that doesn't, for today, that doesn't look like, you know, I'm gonna call the dope man today. But it can sure shit on my day. I can sure find myself in a place mentally where, you know, I'm out of the now. I'm back in the past thinking about shit, or I'm, you know, trying to manipulate a plan to some desired outcome in the future in my head. That's the kind of shit that goes on in my head without help. That's without help, you know, and the help I get is by pulling the curtains back on what's going on. Like my, you know, as an addict, I part of surrender, the first step is accepting the fact that I'm an addict. You know what I'm saying? Like that is not going to change, man. And that my disease will always have the ability to take control. The program gives me a reprieve from my disease being in control. Doesn't kill it, but it keeps it out of control, out of maintaining control of my day, on my life and my day. And then, like, my experience has been that my disease, when I am alone, when I am not willing to talk about what's going on for any given reason, how I may look to somebody else, how I may feel through the process of talking about it. You know, those are those reasons that my disease gives me to stay shut the fuck up about something, that kind of stuff, you know? And if I take those reasons, man, my day goes downhill pretty quick in between my ears. And you know, our experience, collective experience, is if I sit in that and begin to accept that kind of existence, that as an addict, eventually I will use. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, that will lead me back to the dope. And so, you know, staying clean is I see recovery and working a program and daily dedication to that program as vital to staying two or three steps ahead of my disease at all times, you know, because if I'm not two or three steps ahead of my disease, it's two or three steps in front of me. It's ahead of me. And that, you know, then the control, the disease has the power back, you know, and that leads me to using as an addict. And yeah, so How do I do that? I just do the best I can to be honest about what's going on. I've surrounded myself with people that I'm comfortable being honest with. Why? Because they're fucking honest with me about what's going on in their life. And that's the shit I'm here for today. You know, like, those are the relationships. That's what relationships are today. Honesty, you know, and that's compared to where I came from. And, the things that I told myself were relationships, you know, for so long. That's incredible, you know, to have my entire definition of my existence with other people redefined through recovery is some wild shit, man. I'm here for it, you know. And so, yeah, hell yeah, I'm going to keep being honest to the best of my ability and being vulnerable about, you know, what's going on in my life. Because if I don't do that, I don't get the help I need. And I stay sick, or I get sicker. And if I get sicker, you know, for me, there's a big old bag of dope at the end of that, at the end of that road. And one after that, too, you know, and another one and another one. And that's that's where, you know, that's where that leads. For sure.
Yeah. And you make a really good point too, that, you know, we have to be careful who we are honest and vulnerable with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's why when we come around the meetings the first time, we don't really say a whole lot. We feel like we're going to get found out. We feel like we're going to be judged, you know, and maybe even some people don't have those close, you know, authentic connections yet. So they try to be vulnerable with their friends or their family, you know, people that don't get it, people that don't honor the code of honesty and vulnerability and keep confidence or whatever. And it is really important to have that source to be able to do that. Because if I can't live honesty or honestly, and I can't be vulnerable and be who I really am, I got to keep that mask up. You know what I mean? I got to keep fronting. I got to keep faking and living, you know, inauthentically. And that definitely 100% leads me back to using, where it's just like, I feel like I can't even be myself. I have to hold up this image. I have to put on this face and show up to the world every day. Like, I can only take so much of that spiritually before I don't want to feel this. You know what I mean? So we do need those good sources to be honest and vulnerable too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fuck it comes real quick after that, you know, like at some point I got no reason to stick around here anymore. If I go down that trail, you know, like what, you know, I mean, recovery for me is so much about a relationship with my higher power and attributing what's going on in my life to the presence of that higher power in my life, right? That's what I mean. That's what keeps me here. And the people that are in my life today, I acknowledge as gifts from my higher power. And so if I disengage from those, you know what I'm saying? Like, one at a time, a little bit by a little bit by a little bit by a little bit, all of a sudden, why the fuck am I still here, man? You know, like, and
right.
I think a lot
what
of
what am
us,
I doing this for?
Right. A lot of us filter out of recovery in that process, man. I've seen it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm grateful I've seen it, because, you know, I can use that. Unfortunately, the downfall of somebody else, I can use that as experience for me to stay clean, to stay here, you know?
Right.
Yep.
I think I'm hitting a wall.
Me too.
You got anything to close us out, E, or are you good?
I don't know. I just feel like with being vulnerable and kind of everything we talked about, I feel like a lot of it is doing the internal work. And also I feel like a spiritual awakening is kind of necessary, because my spiritual awakening just kind of, it switched my mind from I'm worthless, I'm a horrible person, I don't deserve to live, to I deserve better. And, you know, it kind of just changed my mindset. And then I was willing to do the work. And then after doing the work and building myself back up, my standards for life just got higher. Like, I don't know, I was able to notice red flags in relationships that I was pursuing. I was able to set boundaries in relationships with family and loved ones. I was able to set boundaries at work. I was able to set goals, reasonable goals, to, you know, increase my sense of self-worth. Just all these things that we do in recovery that kind of go hand in hand with what we're talking about. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that, but
I love it.
That's what I got.
Yeah. The shit that was so important to me for so long, I just ain't got time for it anymore. And like, I don't have time for bullshit relationships. I don't have time for inauthenticity, you know. I mean, clearly I'm going to be exposed to that in life. That's part of life, man. Like, we're not all spiritual giants around here, nor am I, you know what I'm saying? We all have our flaws and whatnot, but I'll be damned. I mean, I just, there's things that I would accept as normal before I got clean that I'm not even close to, you know, being willing to accept as normal these days. And it's just because I've been shown something else. That when I was getting high, I was doing the best I could with the experience and information that I had at that time, right? My solution was getting high. That's the experience and information that I had, right? That's changed today. The experience and information that I have today is far different than what I used to have. And with that new experience and information, things that, you know, I didn't even identify the need for a boundary for are paramount to me today. Boundaries in those places today are, you know, possible because of recovery, because my life has changed and I have a different way that I want to live, you know, and yeah. Shit's pretty rad.
Yeah, lucky for us, recovery doesn't stop.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure I could survive the rest of my life with having some emotional guards up. I'm sure I could survive with not being fully honest, open, and authentic. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure I can just maintain the depths of addiction, you know, and just maintain like my recovery enough to stay away from like the edge, but like teetering, you know, close enough to it where one strong, you know, crisis or something would just send me over it, you know. But too much of this bottling shit up and living inauthentically like really takes a toll after a while, right? You know, and luckily we do have new levels of awareness. Like, we can't face it all on day one, you know. I don't need to get sober, try to deal with feeling my own body and hearing 1,000 thoughts in my head to being like, you know what, let's work on vulnerability right now. Like, no. But like, you know, as we progress in recovery, we do find new things to work on. It's like, okay, I've mastered, to, you know, with cleaning up the dangers, you know what I mean? Getting rid of the using friends, going to meetings, meeting people in recovery. Cool. Like, as far as substance use, like, immediate exposure, level one complete, you know. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at, you know, how do I live in my relationships? Am I yelling at my kids? Am I controlling my girlfriend? Am I like doing things like that? Let's look at the other negative, low vibe intentions that could very well keep me in a state of non-serenity. All right, let's look at that. Okay, now I'm at the middle phase, you know, the middle ground where it's kind of peachy over here, but not all sunshine and rainbows. And like, all right, let's live freer. Let's live more authentically. Let's just make sure that I'm in such a good place that if life kicks me in the ass, which it will, something's gonna happen, that I've got enough tools in the tool belt and I'm far, far away from the edge to where I'm not even thinking of going back. You know what I mean? But if we just stop at abstinence, we just stop at just not being super toxic, we're still too close to that edge. You know what I mean? Like, so thank God, like, for conversations like this and meetings and self-help stuff that just keep pointing us to a better direction of more. We are addicts, right? I don't know how many times, like, this dude in the meeting, he'd always just say, like, my drug of choice is more. Mm-hmm. Bro, my recovery of choice is more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want more. I want more books. I want more, you know, self-awareness. Sometimes, God, don't let that be like praying for patience. I'll be painfully aware of too much shit. But like, I just want more. I want more self-mastery. You know, I want more open relationships with like love and attachment, you know, and I'm grateful for this stuff that we don't have like a stopping point. We don't have like a, you got your GED in recovery, you can stop now. Let's keep going. You know what I mean? I appreciate this.
It's an unlimited supply and it's free.
It's free.
I don't have to pay anything for it. It's amazing. Unlimited supply. You know?
All you got to do is want it.
That's it. And more of it. And more of it. And more of it. You know? And that's, God, I can relate, man. That's what keeps me here too. I'm, you know, to your point. Thank God we don't get a certificate of completion around here, that there's always more to be revealed, that there is it, this, that recovery offers us unlimited freedom, unlimited freedom. How free do you want to be? And it's just, yeah. I mean, if I was able to get my graduation papers around here, then, you know, like, again, back to the why would I stay? Why would I stay? After I've graduated something, somebody tells me that I'm a master of everything all of a sudden. Well, now what do I, now I'm out there looking for something I deserve as a result of that validation. You know, what do I deserve? Right. Yeah. And
yeah, why would we sit here on a Saturday afternoon and record a podcast that, you know, it's not just like we're only giving things. Like, I got a lot from this conversation today, just from my own, for my own recovery, you know, for my own growth. So it's like, it is just a continuum of growth and awareness. And there's so many times I got to be pointed back to something basic, to something, you know, I'd learned and forgotten, to something someone introduced to me once that I wasn't ready for, that I heard again later that I'm like, oh shit, now it's clicking. You know, this is definitely an ongoing process and I'm grateful to be a part of it.
And the wheel turns. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Yes, sir.
Love you guys.
Is this thing still recording?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.